Well, thanks very much for coming in and having a chat with me about Nawa.
Niawa.
Niawa. Yes. And it's take care is what it means. But I'll let you start off telling my listeners about what it's all about, because it's an actual journey through country, isn't it?
Yeah. So, as you know, Charlie Needs Braces is a musical band, so it's like a musical project. And last year we were recording a record, and so we had 10 songs, and we'd never done any music video clips up on country. We've done a few down here on the coast, and so I really wanted to get up to the Central Coast and film some video clips. And it sort of came to my attention. I was like, oh, actually, if we're going to go up to the Central Coast, we may as well do video clips for all 10 songs, which is pretty ambitious. Yeah. And we only had 14 days, so it was extreme. We had to be really well planned and prepared. So we ended out doing the 10 clips in different areas, and a few of the songs are specifically related to those spots, like Woi Woi is a town, and Karyong Lands is a particular spot. And so we were exploring these areas and kind of featuring and sort of paying tribute to them and celebrating them. The idea was to have the 10 clips running through the film, and then in between we wanted to have interviews which were around the themes of the songs and sort of explored different ideas that we were
exploring
in the songs. So, so far a lot of people have said, oh, you know, I actually feel like I understand the music more now after seeing the film. And a few people have said it's got a bit of an educational kind of element to it, and they've suggested, you know, getting it in schools and
Is it your country?
Yes, yes, yes.
So that makes all the sense.
Well, not just my country. It's the film is made on a Awabakal, Darug and Guringai country. Yeah, okay. So saltwater mobs along the Central Coast.
One of the things I wanted to say was that it brings incredibly important messages about country into a modern sphere. That's what you're doing. You're opening it up and making it flower into the modern world.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it. There's a lot of, in the interviews, they sort of explore the fear of development and not having enough consultation with First Nations people, if any. And
why it's important.
Yeah, and why yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And how hurtful it is.
Yes, to the people and the land and the waters and the wildlife, this sort of ricochet of
unnecessary brutality.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think for people that don't really know much about this kind of thing, I think it can open up a lot of like, oh, I've sort of heard about this a little bit, or
does that affect me?
Yeah, exactly. And people can watch it and think about where they live and what's going on there, and they might want to explore, you know, who are the, some people might not know the traditional owners. Sometimes it can be hard because you might be in, and for instance, like my mum's property, half of it is one mob, half of it is another. So It sometimes you have to work out like, okay, this area is this mob and this area is the traditional owners of these people. And so,
well, even that actually broaches so much of the history that needs to be understood.
We have like 13 different people being interviewed, but you get such a range of perspectives. And
I also like the pacing, because you had people talking for quite a long time at certain points, and then as the film developed, they became signposts.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of an interesting a spatial arrangement going on in your film.
Someone was telling me, they were saying it's similar to church, where you listen to a chapter or something.
Whatever,
a segment, And then, well, after that, you sing a song which is kind of related to it, and you're kind of your brain gets a chance to absorb what the segment's talking about. And I feel like with the interviews, the music is almost like a break and a chance for you to think through what's just been said, because some of it is kind of
It's quite dark.
Some of it's kind of moving. Some of it's funny, but it gives you a chance to think about it in a kind of with the music, you're like, sort of just absorbing, you know?
Also the way, it should bring in Master Kalpal at this point, because, of course, this person has infused it with a wondrous element, hasn't it? And the animation, as well as even the direction within the clips, which are clearly clips, but the choreography and the joy and sometimes the sadness is pretty compelling.
Yeah. We really wanted to, because you know, there's 10 clips, we wanted to make them as individual as possible. But obviously they had an ongoing style to them, and they were all, they're all outdoors apart from a few feature
the
green
the box
screen.
And the
box. And the box.
Which is so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we were kind of going along, we had to sort of stretch ourselves in terms of creatively thinking what more textures or stylistic, like different aesthetics can we come up with, and can we make it still interesting for the viewer?
And which you do.
Well, that's great.
I can tell you.
Thank you. That's good. It's hard when you've watched something.
Do you feel that you've contributed to, in a positive way, to the messages that you need for your people to get across to the general population about the importance of country and people? People are caretaking actively now. It's not a past thing.
I hope so. I mean, we've had a family viewing, and everyone was really stoked, and they were very they were really happy with how it turned out, and happy with what we, because we had to go through, for the editing process was so extreme, we had to go through the interviews and pick all the gold, and there was so much, and there was also a lot of certain things that weren't meant to be shared, shared with full public kind of thing, so we had to go through
the
with
cultural
an auntie.
Protocols.
Yeah, so there was quite a bit of that, and the thing is, we learnt so much through the process. Like I feel like I've learnt a lot through just doing the interviews and also exploring the themes and digging a bit deeper. I think that we have definitely contributed, and I think even hearing people questioning things and going, "Oh, I never knew that area was up for, you know, was having issues with development, and I never really thought about, you know," like they're just questioning things. And I think even that itself is contributing to people getting a bit more of an understanding of what's going on, or even encouraging people to look, you know, like, "Oh, where do I live? What's the mob? What's the history here?" So I think even that, for me, I feel like that's a really positive thing.
Yeah. And the other thing is about your own musical practice. There's a lot in these clips and a lot about the music itself that's important for self-identity.
Yeah, I think – so this is the second album that we've released as Charlie Needs Braces. It's like our first album was almost like an introduction. The second album digs a little deeper, explores some heavier themes, and even in some ways could be seen as a bit of a protest, drawing attention to development and the lack of consultation that First Peoples have. And I think musically too, we have a lot of, throughout the songs, we have a lot of samples that we've taken, they're field recordings the kookaburra, the magpie, crickets.
Or even when you're talking to the people, you use a soundtrack where yeah. we're hearing the wind and we're hearing the, yeah. the water and we're hearing birds.
Yeah, we wanted to have...
That was lovely.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you noticed that because we did quite a few edits, and on some of the edits it was too much. Mm. We had like music in the background, which I think started to draw too much attention. So we wanted it to be a very subtle, almost calming, natural sounds, and sounds of the... We used a lot of the bell birds, which are... a bird that you come across up on the Central Coast. And we have the wampu, of course, the native fruit dove that's up there that makes the sound of its own name. It goes wampu. Mm. And, yeah, we've got the magpie. So we really enjoyed using sounds from country and sounds from Australia too, just in general. We wanted to bring in some of those more natural. There's quite a few... there's like waves and yep. There's a grey goose in there, which is actually from Phillip Island. So I do like live looping. And so a lot of the songs come from layering different loops like percussion and vocals. But on this album, I really like the use of the samples, which are natural sounds, more organic sounds coming in there. So you've got this, like you were saying, there's a contemporary element. And I think musically that comes from the like the loop station and the sample pad. They're modern, technology.
But so, it's sensory. There's a purpose in it.
There's a purpose. There's a texture.
And people don't realize how much their world is. What you're doing is not just. It's not just the ideas of caring for country, that we're actually part of it.
Mm. Yeah, we're a part of that, and we all should be working in harmony with those things, with all those elements.
I was rather intrigued by the animation that at one point just puts everything, all the big objects on the top of country. And mostly people don't realise what's happened.
Yes, I think...
That was really nicely done.
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you. I think... we sort of had this idea that, I guess it's a bit of a comment, you know, we're commenting on how we're becoming less and less involved and less we're listening to the natural elements, and we're, you know, distracted by the screens, the phones, these kind of almost like addictions, you know.
Yeah.
And
I mean, even the pictures of the kookaburra and how handsome they are.
Yes.
They're so handsome.
I think there's like a loss, a lack of awareness of these natural elements, which inevitably with climate change, I think we'll be looking back on, you know.
Slipping through our fingers.
Yeah.